You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Going to Houston to see the Aztecs in the Final Four. How great of a sentence is that?
That
for you,
sounds
Slee?
So weird. Imagine if you'd have said that 2 weeks ago, Slee. You're going to the Final Four, right?
Don't get me wrong. Okay. Don't get me wrong. I was not thinking San Diego State was going to the Final Four.
No, but you did say you saw some folks that were favoring them over Virginia.
Yeah, and they're tough, and they got a bunch of seniors, mm-hmm. and they're pretty good. They're ranked in the top 20 basically the entire year. That being said, they're going to the Final
going
Four,
to the freaking
and that's amazing.
Final Four.
So
going
good.
To the Final Four.
What was it like? Take
okay,
me through
Okay, so it. Yesterday is a perfect story because yesterday the pregame show started at 11. I'm looking at the schedule, right? SDSU, after they won against Alabama on Friday, they don't tell you right away what time you're going to play on Sunday.
Okay.
You just know you're going to play on Sunday
yeah.
if you win. So I'm looking and I'm like, all right, what time are they going to put him at? I'm like, okay, well, don't be the morning game. That's all.
Well, there's only two spots at that point. Right, there's not a lot of choices.
But I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, you've done this. You know this because you've done the Lakers pre and post. And when you did it, Sunday nights are Laker games.
Yes.
Most of them are on Sunday nights.
Yes.
You're going to get a Golden State Warriors, Lakers. They're going to put on national TV. It's going to be 12:30. But most of them are going to be 6:30, right?
Yeah.
Most would be 6:30. So I'm like, all right, the Lakers and the Bulls are at 12:30 on Sunday. I'm like, okay, well, that's not ideal. And then they put pregame show starts at 11. Tip off, 11:20.
It sucks.
So tip-off's at 11:20. I actually, it's kind of funny in a weird way.
And by the way, Friday night when they were playing, who'd they play on Friday night? OKC.
Yep.
Overlapped with San Diego State a little bit.
Well, the pregame show, San Diego State won the game at 5:57. Pregame show started at 6.
Oh, so you got to see it. Okay,
so good. I got to watch it. So yesterday, kind of leading up to it, how are you with this? Because you're going to probably be different. A, because, I don't know, you're accustomed to this a lot more. If you represent Los Angeles teams, they're just much more successful, period.
Yeah.
However you look at it, right? It's a powerhouse. They're winning in one of these sports or they're competing every single year. For me, I'm not good at this. The Padre games were the most nerve-wracking games ever.
Yeah.
I'm like, how the hell have Dodger fans done this every year for the last 10 years? How do I not have a heart attack?
The answer is not well. Go ahead.
I was basically having a heart attack. So the game... Listen,
I used to weigh 168 pounds until the Dodgers started making the playoffs every year.
Once they beat Alabama, the problem was now you have real expectations because they're playing Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
So a chance to go to the Final Four, and it's Creighton. It's not like they're North Carolina, Duke, UCLA, Gonzaga, Connecticut. All those other teams actually were on the other side of the bracket mm-hmm. for the most part. So once they beat Alabama, now you actually have some expectations. Now you're like, no. We actually have a chance. They have a chance. We have a chance. Also go to the Final Four. So by the time the game tipped off, Michael and I, and there's a lot going on. LeBron, is he going to make the start? Is he not? Lakers have a big game against the Bulls. There's only 8 games left in the standings. By the time pregame show ended, we're at halftime and San Diego State's down 5. So I decided, all right, I'm going to go to the media room down there, kind of take a second, a little breather down there. Brad Turner from the LA Times, he also went to San Diego State, so him and I chance to, kind of chat a little bit for a quick second.
You guys
second.
Have like a secret handshake or a song sing together?
Yeah.
Like
we do the genuine song.
Okay, is there a fight song? There has to be, right?
There is a fight song.
Do you know it?
No, we talked about this earlier. I'm not good at that stuff.
Yeah. But I didn't go to SC.
He had it on earlier, and I was humming along with it. So they're obviously playing it at every one of the Aztec games.
This is it, Taylor? Yeah. Kind of sounds like everybody else's.
It is basically like there's one verse that's different than 49 other colleges, right? So by the time you got to halftime, it's a game. You're down by 5. And then, the third quarter is starting for let it keep going.
I like it.
SDSU. SDSU Aztecs.
Oh, that's basically UCLA's. This is the equivalent of Vanilla Ice ripping off David Bowie.
Yeah, sometimes we got to take them. Sometimes you got to take. If there's a good track out there, follow along. Why?
That's the why recreate clap. It? Like when I heard the SDSU Aztecs
fight.
That's the eight clap. I'm now bothered. Go ahead. I'm gonna enjoy it anyway.
No. So then, by the time you got to the Lakers are in the first half of the game, and by the time the San Diego State game is going on, now we're, it's back and forth. I mean, if anybody saw the end of the game yesterday, it's not like anybody's going up 10 points. This is back and forth. Every bucket counts. Every defense. San Diego State doesn't score. They don't score. They play defense.
Yes.
So, when we got to the end and the score was, I think, 52 all, John and Michael have the game on in one of their monitors down there. I have the game on in one of my monitors, even though I kept changing the channel because I was trying to watch it on my laptop because I did that in the Alabama game.
Superstition.
So State takes a two-point lead, and there's maybe 35 seconds left. They can't get the ball inbounded. They get the ball inbounded, and San Diego State throws it to the other. Remember, they threw it to Creighton right in the other basket. So now the game is tied. So now the clock's running. At the same time, DeMar DeRozan won't miss a shot. Zach LaVine is doing his thing. Patrick Beverley's telling LeBron, you're too small.
Like, right.
There's just a lot going on. But ultimately, at the end, once he hit that free throw and Aztecs went up one, this was before halftime of the Laker game. Eventually, when the game, because then they went to the reviews and everything, that it was official, the game was over.
It was a weird ending.
It's a weird
ending.
By the
way, I don't know what the scuttlebutt was about.
I know what
it was. The call. No, I'm talking about the foul call, right? That was a foul. That was a foul. The guy had him hooked around the waist.
It's the same thing from Super Bowl where, like, why are you calling at the end of the game? But yeah, it's a foul.
It was a foul.
You can't defeat.
Oh, by the way, when the kid clanked the first one, do you think he was going to make the second one?
Okay, so if you said you could have anybody at the free throw line, you want Trammell at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Okay? I would just say this.
Did you see his quote? He goes, when I missed the first one, there's no way I'm missing the second one. I'm like, oh, you want to bet?
So
you want to bet?
Here was the good thing in – here's the good thing that the position that they were in. Only good thing was that once – you just needed one.
Mm-hmm.
And in a perfect world, you made the first one. You missed the second one.
Right.
Don't make the second one.
Right.
1.2 seconds left. But eventually, when you missed the first free throw, then you started thinking of everything. I started thinking of Marlon McCree. I started thinking of everything that you could think of San Diego
who's
sports
the kicker
history.
That kept missing? Who's that guy?
Nate Kading.
They also didn't guard the inbound. You got to guard the inbound again.
I know that was part of the conversation. But they had to go... Anyways, so long story short, the problem is they had a 7-2 guy, so I think they were just trying to see if they could double-team him. Once that inbound came, they didn't start the clock right away, which is, I think, what they were reviewing, why the referees just said the game's over. And then you had like a quick second of, they freaking did it. And then before you know it, it's Lakers are down 12 or whatever. And
did you not
right
get to enjoy it at all? Did you go back to the Lakers?
I enjoyed it. There was, once halftime was done, I took a second, called a couple of buddies. I definitely 100% enjoyed it for a quick second. But really where I enjoyed it was when the game was done, Lakers game was over as well. Just went home and got a chance to like sink it in. Like they're in the freaking Final Four.
So, okay, we talked about this earlier, but if you're just getting in the car right now, you maybe don't. Al's going. Did you get the green light? You good to go?
Yeah, one thing that we got to figure out, but
you'll get it figured out.
But there's not a hurdle
left. But you got your tickets. You've got the flight.
Tickets I have for Saturday, and I think this is PAX. I don't know how they do it. Monday as well.
Got to be prepared.
Yeah.
Monday right? So well. You're still looking for some place to stay, but you got the
flight. I think the stay, we're good. It's
okay.
The flight that I have to book,
okay.
Which I'll do after the show.
How long from the time that the referees finished their 45-minute conference at the end of the game to when they said, okay, it's official, Aztecs win, they're going to the Final Four, before you knew you were going? Did you talk about it before? Did we get with your buddies and say, guys, look, if this happens, we got to go? Or was it... Yeah. 000, all right, let's figure this out.
Nothing before. And I think you're probably the same way in this as well. I can't plan. I can't say that San Diego State's going to go to the Final Four. That's like, how am I supposed to say that? Nothing before. And there was a thread going on.
The three guys you're going with?
With the three guys I'm going with. I wasn't too involved because I don't like doing that during the game. Once the game ended, whatever they had, I was so behind. All I said was, fellas, We got to go to the game. And then it was, I'm going to find tickets on this. And then they all just kind of went in and made it happen.
That's
I got one buddy that's making it all happen.
You're going to have so much fun. I am so incredibly not jealous in like a bad way. I'm jealous and excited that you get to go experience this, because you went to a school similar to the school that I went to where the very pinnacle of athletic achievement is not a regular occurrence. This isn't USC or Ohio State or Michigan or North Carolina or Duke, right? To go to the Final Four, the College World Series, a big bowl game. So it doesn't happen all that often. You're going to have the time of your life. It will be so much fun. And I want the Aztecs to win for you. I want my daughter goes to San Diego State. I want her to get to experience something like that. But even if it doesn't happen, right? Even if Florida Atlantic wins the game.
Yeah.
You're going to remember it forever. It's going to be something that you really, truly cherish for the rest of your life. These experiences don't come around, and I'm so happy you get to do it.
So, by the way, I appreciate that very much. I think there is something to, you know, when they beat Alabama and you knew it was Creighton, and then FAU beat Kansas State, and I'm like, wait a minute. They get to play Creighton, and if they play if they beat Creighton, then they get to go up against FAU.
Slee.
So all of that is...
You could be playing for the national championship on Monday night. Beat Florida. They can beat Florida. Now, they can lose,
but they can
beat Florida. Yeah. You do not need a miracle to beat Florida. Play well, play tough, play good defense. They can win that game, and now you're in a one-game situation to win the whole damn thing.
That's the point. I will say this, that hypothetically, if it all ended on Saturday, I keep going back to this, to have that logo with the Final Four.
Yeah.
And this, you know, there's a lot kind of riding on this for San Diego State as well. Brian Dutcher, we all know the news. Pac-12, SC and UCLA, they're out. And there may be, and I think it's more likely than not, San Diego State may enter the Pac-12. So the implications that can have...
I agree with you. I think it is more likely than not.
The implications that can have for the school and for the city of San Diego, that now potentially you can actually get really cool games that are down in SD, or you have games at Oregon or whatever the case is, it has those implications. So for me, I was like, just get to the Final Four. If you just get to the Final Four, you can say that you've been to the Final Four.
Yeah.
What I didn't know is FAU is the team that's there that potentially can, you know, you could potentially get there.
It's kind of cuts winnable both ways, right? San Diego State is like, we get to play FAU for a chance to go to the final. FAU's saying the same thing.
Yeah.
They're both looking across and saying, they're kind of the same team, right? They're both kind of senior heavy.
Mm-hmm.
They're both not supposed to be here.
Both go deep, 8-9 guys.
FAU's a 9 seed. San Diego State was a 5.
Yeah, 5 seed.
So, you know, neither one of these were in the top quadrant of their own bracket.
Mm-hmm.
It's just perfect.
Beat some good teams. Both schools beat good teams to get there.
Both of them got a little bit of a good draw, too, because you get Furman, right? And then you had to beat Alabama after that. But
then you got Creighton. So it's not like you had to go through...
You didn't beat Kentucky, Gonzaga, and UCLA.
No. You didn't have to go through that. So a game away from potentially getting to the national championship.
I was down on campus yesterday, and I went to pick up my daughter.
It's the funniest thing in the world. You were there right as tip-off is happening. Right,
yeah, I got there about an hour before tip-off, and then we left right before it was supposed to happen. And there was a line of people trying to get into the building, Viejas Arena. They were all decked out in gear. They all had the red and the black and the face paint and the wigs. It was such a great environment. It's going to be amazing when you go there. Are your seats good?
I don't know where the seats are.
Because they're playing it where the Texans play football, right?
Yeah.
So it's a 70,000 seat football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The seating can be, if you get a good seat, it's great. It's like being anywhere else.
If not, you're watching
the basically on the screen. If you get a football seat, it's like, okay.
There's probably, I have no idea.
Your way into the good ones. Tell them who you are.
I wonder if, trust me, I'm trying to pull every alumni card possible. I haven't even got a chance to start because it's not like I could call people yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can make it happen.
You should.
Where are the powerful SDSU alumni?
Can I make one quick suggestion?
Yeah.
That when next season starts, when this is now a program that has been to the Final Four, can we make some sort of banner that people can see? Unlike the Kawhi Leonard jersey that's hanging in a closet somewhere that you can't even find?
How is that Final Four banner? I didn't even think about that yet.
Yeah.
I didn't even get that far.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So when UVA got their Final Four banner too, it's really cool to see it lined up.
Obviously,
there's things like UVA's had other appearances, but it's just having the new one that you saw that team, you know that team. It's really cool to see that.
The Dallas Mavericks.
I didn't think about the banner.
What's that?
I didn't even think about the banner.
Oh, yeah. You don't think I was excited when the couch was going to hang a College World Series banner in the outfield? It's like, I'm going to put one in my living room above my bed. Hey, Sue, what do you think about this? Gaucho's 2016 College World
Series. It actually hangs like...
Instead of a canopy over our bed, like a four-put, we have the Gaucho flag from the World Series. Mavs are going the wrong way. The Lakers get LeBron back. What happens next? It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So if you're not one of the fortunate people like Alan Sliwa, who has their alma mater in the Final Four, and you're headed to Houston to watch them take on FAU on Saturday, of course the finals will be going on Monday, you can join Sedano and Cap at the 909 Sports Bar inside Yamava Resort and Casino for a college basketball national championship watch party that is a week from today, April 3rd at 4 p.m. You can watch the game, win prizes. Gary Payton, the Glove, is going to be there. He'll be there from 5 until 7. You got wall-to-wall LEDs, 150-plus screens, 32 craft beers. It is a perfect place to watch the championship basketball action. You need to be 21. Please gamble responsibly, and that is a great place to go watch the game. The Glove, Sedano and Cap, championship game. Not a bad way to spend a Monday, Slee. Not all of us can be in Houston.
Yeah, it'll be a little nerve-wracking of a weekend. But, man, if you can just get Saturday, it's the first game. How great will Saturday night be to enjoy the second game?
Yes. Okay. Yes. If you win on Saturday, now all of a sudden, now you got to punch the ticket. It's like right now, it's all good. It's all good, right? Yeah. Whatever happened, the Final Four is awesome. It's an amazing accomplishment. If you win, now you're in the, you didn't make the Final Four, you lost the championship. It's like, it oddly kind of turns a little bit like that. Not that getting in isn't still incredibly awesome, but now it's like, you still are thinking, this is Cinderella.
Hypothetically, let's say this happened. I went through this with my buddy. I'm like, this was before the Creighton game. I'm like, what if they got to the national championship? Like they it's lined up to where they get there. Connecticut blew out Gonzaga by like 30, something like that. Remember, Gonzaga and UCLA, close matchup, goes right down to the wire, and then UConn just blows them out. Let's say UConn takes care of Miami. Just, again, another – I think they've – the closest this UConn's had in a game has been 15. Or it's like an average of 15 points per one. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they've won by a total of 90 of their four games.
Holy smokes.
Something like
which
that.
Which almost never happens in the tournament.
Which I was seeing this yesterday because now I'm a
like
scout.
You're like Billy Packer. You're Bill Raftery.
I'm a scout. But just to play off of that, let's say UConn, it's UConn SDSU in the finals, and UConn's just really, really good. I don't know if I can only feel a certain way. What I didn't want them to happen is you played a team that you expected to win. And I think, you know, all of a sudden you have now expectations on Saturday. But let's see what happens. Get through Saturday and figure it out from there.
Expectations are complicated, right? Because they change everything. It's not just that, okay, we're here, whatever happens, it's great. But it now all of a sudden you're supposed to. For instance, when the Mavs made the deal for Kyrie Irving, the expectations changed. They went from, yeah, we got Luka and we went to the conference finals last year, but it feels like, we got another megastar. You turn around and here you are, March 27th, the Dallas Mavericks fresh off of losing two games to the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte's 25-51. The Mavericks are now outside of both lines. They're below the 6. They're below the 10. They are one full game behind Oklahoma City for the final spot in the Western Conference play-in tournament.
Yeah.
How can Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving have been this ineffective since making that deal? And those Charlotte games are just bizarre.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
They might not.
Look at the rest of their they are in the middle of a four-game road trip. At Indiana, okay. At Philly,
tough.
At Miami,
tough.
At Atlanta, all
tough.
Those three teams, all three of them got something to fight for.
Yeah.
Then you end the season Sacramento, Chicago, San Antonio. There's a very, very good likelihood that when they initially made the trade, whatever their record was, right, when they made the trade, that they've lost four games in a row now, which makes it even more frustrating for Laker fans that their last win was against the Lakers without Luka.
And if the Maxi Kleba ending
becomes Ray Allen, hits three free throws in a row and hits a three.
Probably
shouldn't have fouled him in that situation. But they have been so bad since the trade deadline. And what this kind of, all right, what are the questions that comes up? If they don't make the playoffs, is Luka happy with what's going on? Probably not. By the way, he's an idiot. Got his 16th technical. Is not going to play tonight against the Pacers.
Bad deal, by the way. It's a huge
awful
mistake.
Look.
Yeah.
And we've talked. How many times have we talked about him? The dude complains so much. I'm a fan
Non-stop.
Of his game.
Nonstop.
But damn, does he compete or does he complain every time? So I think it's kind of an interesting situation where we're going to eventually see this Dallas Mavericks team, if they don't make the playoffs, just kind of shows you go make any trade you want at the deadline, you go do everything you want, not everything's going to work or match, and they are just in this colossal downward spiral.
Well, it has the ripples on the pond are real because it's not just that they may miss the playoffs, which they might. Now, they're still only a game back with seven to go, so they can find their way back in, but it's challenging to be sure. If they don't get in, it changes what they may do next. It changes what Kyrie might want to do next. Mm-hmm. Do you want to stay on a team that can't get in? Maybe not. Who knows what Kyrie's going to do?
Kyrie's going to say, who's going to pay me?
Of course.
Yep.
But maybe there are other teams that want to pay him. I think there probably will be. Now, all of a sudden, depending on what happens with the Lakers, do they get in or not? Do they advance or not? Do they get into the playoff series or not? Do they beat somebody or not? How does it look like with D'Angelo? Yep. Like, there are all of these different layers to this thing. And if let's say the Lakers get in, but they don't get out of the play-in, okay? Mm-hmm. How much do you love this? Let's say they get out of the play-in and are the number 7 or 8 seed, and Memphis or Denver clips them in the first round in 5 games or something like that.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, there are so many different things that Dallas – because if Dallas were really good and they were in the mix and they're going into a series and you think they're going to win, Kyrie's more than likely going to stay there. It's not a guarantee anymore. Everything's up in the air, and all of the stuff that's in the air could land on the Lakers.
I would like to take back what I said about Luka. Shams Charania just tweeted out, the NBA has rescinded Dallas star Luka's 16th technical foul, making him eligible to play tonight versus the Pacers.
That's one of those the league went, guys, yep. We need him to play in this game. We're taking that one off the board, right?
He could have kicked the ball in the stands. Okay,
punched a referee.
They would have said, we got a chance to review this. And we really, really believe Luka was not wrong in this one. Well, Luka's playing tonight. Luka's playing tonight.
Look, it's like we talked about earlier with the beer sales and fast baseball game. At the end of the day, these teams are all trying to make money. These leagues are trying to make money. And I want these games to be as legitimate as possible, but having Luka Doncic play in these games is probably the best.
Michael says the one thing he hates most about the NBA, he doesn't think you should have, you shouldn't foul out of a game.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is, look, you get your 6th foul. This as an example. You get your 6th foul. It's free throw and the ball. Don't take the best player out of the game. You can't take people out in football. You don't take people out of baseball. Like, it just doesn't happen. You could say a red card in soccer or whatever you want to call it. But for the most part, you don't take out your stars. We're the only league to do it.
Yeah, it's a weird deal. Let's go to the phones here. Let's go to Los Angeles and Ivan. Ivan, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey,
big fan of the show. They have two questions regarding my beloved Lakers. One, can you tell me what identity we have that Darvin has put on this team? And two, how come he's not getting no blame in the media at all? Bad rotations, bad substitutions, bad timeouts, not getting AD the ball. How many times are we going to hear that excuse? It's 7 games left in the season. We shouldn't have our head coach sitting there, my bad for not getting the star player. And that's what he is, our star player right now, the ball. It's just ridiculous.
Ivan, Ivan, appreciate you calling in. No one's making any excuses from yesterday. I'll tell you, and I was doing the post-game show, you and I talked about it earlier. There's no excuse when you're 8 games left on the season. You're finally, by the way, they had won 3 games in a row. You had a chance to close out your homestand 4-1. I'm not telling you it's perfect basketball, but that loss really hurts the Lakers. Of course it hurts the Lakers. And if you think Darvin Ham's getting a free pass as well, I don't think anybody was given any free passes yesterday. Lakers had Anthony Davis took, what did we say, 8 shots yesterday? Okay. He took 6 free throws yesterday. We talked about Troy Brown Jr. took more shots.
So did Malik Beasley.
So did Malik. Malik Beasley took 14 threes yesterday. Okay. Just to kind of put that in. It's
probably too many.
And towards the end of the game is where he took most of them, hit 6, whatever it was. Yeah, that was – the guys didn't come out ready to go. Your head coach has something to do with that. Anthony Davis not getting the ball. The AD part, I will say this, AD, then go get the ball. Like, I think there's a portion of this we want to point at Anthony – or we want to point at Darvin Ham and say, you get him the ball. Do you have to tell Giannis to go get the ball? Do you have to go tell Embiid to go get the ball? Do you have to go tell LeBron or Joker or any of these – Steph Curry? No, they're going to go get theirs. And if AD takes 8 shots in a game, I know you and I are both saying to ourselves, oh, well, he got to the free throw line 15 or 16 times, right? No, he didn't. He got there 6 times. So, or 8 times. No, 6 times. 3-6.
I think Ivan is on to something. Yesterday is not my point, but I think because the Lakers have had such a, for lack of a better word, a peculiar year where they've gone through a complete roster makeover, where they had a really unusual situation where an incredibly famous player, Russell Westbrook, you knew he was a short-timer. You knew he was going to move. That's weird. You got LeBron James, who's in and out of the lineup. You got Anthony Davis, who's in and out of the lineup. You're not. You got off to a terrible start at 2-8, like or 2-10, excuse me, that you have all these things going on that we haven't spent nearly as much time as we might. If they started the season with the same roster that they were ending the season with, if it were and Anthony Davis was playing in 65 games, LeBron James playing in 60 games, we would be much more focused on how is Darvin Ham doing as a rookie head coach. There's been so many other things in the Laker universe that has distracted us from it. But I think Ivan's right. Their end of games are bad, Al. Mm-hmm. They're bad. And I think a lot of them are a reflection of a coach who is learning how to be a head coach in the league on the job, right? He's a first-time head coach. They make bad decisions, whether it comes to foul or not foul. They don't really seem to have a great deal of organization towards the end of games. They don't find a way to get Anthony Davis the ball a lot. Like, Darvin made a joke the other day, and it was funny. They asked him, well, why did he? He goes, because his idiot head coach doesn't call it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's funny, and I like you taking responsibility for it, but there's something to that, right? I agree with you. Anthony Davis, whether he's getting his number called or not, should demand the basketball because that's what the best players are supposed to do. But there have been some bumpy moments at the end of games over the course of this season that we've just kind of went past because there's so much other noise in the room that Darvin's inexperience and the end of games being as weird as they have been, we just kind of go, yeah, well, AD didn't play tonight, or when's LeBron coming back, or is Russ coming or going, or when, you know, D'Angelo going to – it's there's so many other things that kind of takes a backseat.
You know where that stuff – will get highlighted more is, let's say they're in the playing tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Playing tournament, right? So now it's just a game, you move on or you don't. Okay, let's go past that. Now you're in a 7-game set against Denver. And now everything is about your coaching and your adjusting and what that coach did and what that coach did. Hopefully they're in a situation where we can have a little bit of that.
Some good news for the Lakers. They got their guy back yesterday. For how long? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So you told me that you had some food meltdown this weekend?
All right, here's what happened. Kind of, I don't know if we call it a celebration. It's not even a celebration. I don't even know what it was. You have a decision to make around 8:30 at night.
Okay.
8:30. We go one or two ways. The right way is You already got food at the house. Just make something simple. Make something healthy. Call it a night. The wrong way is, who's serving wings and where can we get the pizza from in Pasadena, California?
What time is this?
8:30.
Okay.
8:30, we're starting the research. So it's not even like you're going to get the food. At around 9:30 last night.
You delivered to the wrong place.
Delivered at the Thai restaurant again. It was waiting there for me. It wasn't even delivery. She went and picked it up. Wings and freaking Brooklyn-style type of pizza. Just amazing pizza. But it's 9:30 at night here. And it's not like I went and had one slice and then we're calling it a night.
No, not a chance.
She's not a fan of wings, so I just have 12 wings that are sitting there. Sure. There's three left. I'm that controlling where there's three left.
Air fryer.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. The pizza, just amazing. Two slices, but they're big slices.
That's four slices.
Okay. And then it was
at least three, right?
And then it was just brush your teeth and then good night. What the hell is that?
You had a few beers with all this, right?
No beers.
No beers?
No beers.
Just sitting in your stomach.
You had wings and pizza and no beers?
Yeah, at 9:30.
So what?
On a Sunday night.
In for a penny, in for a pound, right?
I don't have, it's funny, I have good bourbons at home, good liquor.
Yeah, but that's
I don't
not
have
wings and
I
pizza.
Don't have beers just kind of sitting there waiting at home.
Yeah, we're going to
have a lot
to
of beers
that.
I have is either at the pickleball court or.
I'm not saying you need to have like a kegerator in your garage where you're drawing draft beers.
Actually,
every
I'm
night,
lying. I think I have a few Sapporos that have been sitting
there.
Throw
them in the back. Just put them in the back and just, you know, for that exact moment is why you just need a couple.
Unbelievable. 9:45 at night, I'm still eating. I'm like, yeah, I should go to bed now.
What kind of pizza was it?
It's actually a square, this specific place, square pizza.
Okay.
So on this, it was pepperoni. Sure. It was sausage.
Sure.
And then was some basil on top of it as well.
That
was it.
Great.
There was nothing left. I took some red pepper flakes, throwing it
sure.
on there, get that on there. I'm using part of the, because the wings I got, I like the hot wings, so I'm using the sauce that they have there, dipping my crust in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. It's
so,
a mess.
It was
great.
The first game with this team yesterday, too. So we all went to a bar afterwards, and the bar that you get the pitcher deal at, they had other deals, too, if you sign up with the league. But there was two of the girls on the team were trying to, like, make friends, and so they ordered a bunch of food for the table. But I was really the only one picking at it, and I felt weird about it because they kept on insisting, like, please, please have some. Like, we got this for the table, and I'm like,
were they
okay.
eating it?
They were eating it, too.
Oh, then you're fine.
But then, like, nobody else at the table was, so I was like, I was like, going to ask, should I feel weird about the one that
eating The only thing that would have been weird if you were literally the only one eating.
I know. They were encouraging me, like, please eat. We got this for everybody.
But if they were nibbling at it, too, you're totally fine. What's weird is when somebody orders a bunch of food in a situation like that, and no one's eating it at all, and you're the, because I've been this guy, hand in the air, then you go back, and you realize, wait, no one else has had a single bite, and I'm back in line for the third time. Like, this is, am I doing, like, was I not supposed to eat this?
I got them moment. A drink, too, so it's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm sharing the wealth.
No, you're good. You're good. I did think about you this weekend. Susan and I went and had lunch on Saturday afternoon in a Mexican restaurant, Sada down in San Clemente. Good spot.
Tortilla style.
So they had the restaurant style
tortillas. Tortilla style tortillas.
As I'm eating them, I'm like, that's two tortillas. That's four tortillas.
Oh, yeah. I did not want that stat.
I couldn't stop thinking about it.
The worst.
As I'm eating them. And so
they
were
kind
of the ones that are kind of shaped like this and has the round edge. So you can see the size of the tortilla would have been like this before they cut it. I ate six or eight tortillas.
Oh,
that's
easily.
That's an insane thing to do.
Easily.
Thanks for nothing, Emily.
You're welcome, guys.
You ruined
certain
my
stats,
chip consumption.
There's certain stats I don't want. That's one of those stats.
Way too much.
Pizza's waiting when I get home. Of course, it's going right
back. Back. And the wings. Do it all over.
Oh, yeah, the wings. I got three left.
Air fryer. LeBron surprisingly came back yesterday. I don't know.
Very surprisingly.
I'm assuming the people inside the building had an idea that he was close. But he played yesterday. He played 30 minutes. He looked like he hadn't played in a while. I think, you know, the Lakers lost by 10 points. They kind of fell behind like that, and they were really kind of never in the game.
Out for a month.
Yeah.
Missed 13 games.
Two doctors recommended season-ending surgery. He went to the LeBron James of foot doctors and found somebody that said, okay, we can do it like this, and he's back. I wonder if this is he's healthy and he's ready to go, and let's hit the gas through these final seven games and into the playoffs and beyond. Or this is what we were talking about last week, which is, look, this isn't perfect. I'm not 100%, but I need to be there for my team. I need to go out there and see if 80% of LeBron James is enough to get us into the play-in. 80% of LeBron James is enough to get us out of the play-in. 80%, or whatever the number is, or I'm ready to go, no limitations, full minutes. We'll have a better idea come Wednesday on whether he plays or not, how much he plays. But we talked about it the other day. It happens all the time where, look, this isn't perfect. Kobe played all the time banged up. That this isn't perfect, but I'm going to let it go because it's the end of the season and they need me. And without us, we don't have a good chance. With me, even limited, we've got a much better chance.
Take it to another level. LeBron's in his 20th season, Trev.
Right.
20th season. How many more cracks at this do you get?
Good point.
You know, and I genuinely don't know that answer. I know LeBron signed with the Lakers next year. He's got a player option for that final year. But you're 20 years already in. You don't know what next year's going to look like. You have no idea. Are there going to be other types of...
Can I throw something in there out? Maybe you do. And you're thinking, this may be our best chance.
And I'm not even talking about the Laker roster yet. I'm talking more just of LeBron and his health and his close to three and a half seasons of just playoff games on top of the 20 years. And then if you look at the basketball side, maybe you're right. Maybe he's also looking at it and saying, okay, the Denver Nuggets have the best record in the Western Conference. Are they unbeatable?
No.
Of course not. The Memphis Grizzlies are after that. I think that's a question mark as well. The Sacramento Kings. Phoenix Suns is the only team that you might look at and say, wow, that's a really, really good team. If they're healthy.
Yeah,
they
KD's
haven't been
playing.
Healthy. I think KD is going to come back at some point this week.
But aren't the Lakers in the exact same boat? Like they're the exact same boat as the Suns, which is they've got some good players on the team, right? You've got D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Davis. Like you got Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul. But you're really going to go based on the guy that's not there with you right now. Kevin Durant and LeBron James.
Yeah, but the only reason why I mention it like that is I think LeBron at this stage of his career, he's probably looking at this and saying, well, it's worth the freaking risk. Let me at least just try. He said something post-game yesterday. He said when he was asked what actually happened to your foot, he said, I tore a tendon in my foot. And two doctors are telling him this is requires surgery. He's not going to go with it. And somebody had asked, are you going to get surgery after the season? If you have it, yeah, go ahead.
Did anyone ever suggest surgery?
Yeah, two doctors.
Why did you decide against it?
Because I went to LeBron James' feet, and he told me I should.
Are you going to need surgery on this after?
I don't know. Right now, I don't need it, so we'll see what happens. I'll probably get another MRI at the end of the season and go from there. But if I end up having to get surgery after the season, you guys won't know. I don't talk to you guys in off season, and by the time next season starts, I'll be fine. I'll be ready to go.
The reason why I think that's important too, there is a little bit of F it. I'm going to try.
Yeah.
F it. I'm going to listen. If it doesn't, if he woke up this morning and he could barely walk on it, or oh my gosh, I can't play with this pain. I think for LeBron James, a player that has played through a ton of injuries, this guy, I think he's the type of player that's going to say, all right, well, at least I tried, rather than I didn't give it a shot to see where this team is.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about last week. And that answer is very specific. It's a little cagey. It's a, yeah, I was talked about, the two doctors suggested surgery. Yes, I'll get right now. What he said, right now, I don't. We'll take another MRI at the end of the season. If I have it, you won't know. That this is a very cagey response to whether this thing is... Because we've heard this before, too, right? Look, you're not going to make it any worse. If you can tolerate the pain, go do it. We're going to have to fix it at the end of the year. And I'm just speculating here.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to fix it at the end of the year anyway. So let it rip, whether it's partially this or partially that or fully this or fully that. It doesn't really matter. The repair is the same. It could just be a... Hey, listen, my team needs me. We're hanging on by the skin of our teeth. I'm going to give it a shot. And if the thing goes, then it goes and we are where we were anyway. And if it doesn't, maybe you can keep it together for a week, a month, maybe longer if all of a sudden you get. But that did not sound like I'm 100%, I'm ready to go full steam ahead. That was very specific in not saying that.
You know what's so weird too? If I told you 7 games left, Lakers, by the time it's all said and done, they're a top 6 seed and they avoided the play-in tournament. You'd be surprised, but it's not unlikely to happen. They're a game and a half from where the Warriors are. If I told you, Trav, they didn't make it. They Dallas won a couple games in a row and they got to number 10, and the Lakers missed by a tiebreaker because Dallas has a tiebreaker. You'd be a little surprised but not shocked. If I told you they're 7th, okay. If I told you they're 10th, okay. The fact that they can be 6 through 11 in these final 7 games is just that's fascinating.
This is why you said it when we were out at Yamava 2 weeks ago. This is why every game is so important. That Rockets game that Anthony Davis did not play, that they lost, could be so important because it could be in or out.
Mm-hmm.
It could be 10. Now you got to win 2 on the road. 9, you got to win 2, but you get one of them at home.
Mm-hmm.
8, you got to win 1, you're on the road. 7, you got to win 1 and you're at home. But even if you lose either 7 or 8,
you get
another chance at home. Or 6, you get to skip the whole damn thing and just be in a series. One game. That's why I think he's back, and that's why it's just, you know what, let's let it hang out, let's let it rip, and whatever happens, happens, and if I'm ready, great, and if I'm not, oh well, I wasn't going to be ready anyway. We'll see. Hopefully he stays. Wednesday, I think we'll learn a lot when it comes around on Wednesday. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. This is tremendous. I'm very, very happy to play this. Mike McDaniel, who is the current head coach of the Miami Dolphins, used to be an assistant coach with the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are on the block right now. Dan Snyder is going to sell the team. And Dan Snyder is on the short list of worst owners in professional sports.
Yeah.
Never mind NFL, all of them. Put them all together. Dan Snyder.
Yeah, he's right under Dean.
He might, maybe, but he's.
The Commanders have a lot of bad stuff.
I was going to say he may be number one ahead of Dean. Dean's a bad owner as far as putting a quality product on
that's
the field.
That's personal, yeah.
But Dan Snyder's got all sorts of like really ugly allegations against him and his cronies and the team, and it just. And then there's this. This is what Mike McDaniel had to say.
Wow, the organization's worth that much, and you know I couldn't get free coffee.
So apparently they were digging him for his coffee when he was an assistant with the Commanders. That's just one of those, what am I doing here? This is the NFL, and I can't get a cup of coffee when I come into the building?
We get free coffee.
I was going to say.
We have no problems
here. We got coffee here.
Good coffee, right? Too.
And I don't think that 710 is worth as much as an NFL franchise. I don't know.
That quote should be in the locker room for the Miami Dolphins.
That is so bad.
I didn't even get free coffee.
How could you imagine going to work every day knowing that they're
nickel and diming
you for
he does have awful stories left and right, whether it be personal, whether it be this, whether it be that. He's not a good person.
Cardinals pitcher Jordan Hicks yesterday in a spring training game threw a pitch that was 104.6 miles an hour.
What?
104.6, got rounded up to 105 on the radar gun in the game. It was officially 104.6. I want to go back to, let's go back 40 years. Nolan Ryan was the hardest throwing guy in Major League Baseball, right?
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan threw about 100 miles an hour, and he was the only one. Okay, fast forward another 20 years of that. You got Randy Johnson, you got Pedro Martinez, and they're high 90s over and over and over again. Kind of the same, maybe one or two more guys. Now where we are right now, every team's got a guy that throws 100. You've got a couple of Shohei's throwing 102 in the WBC. 20-year-old Japanese kid, Sasaki's throwing 102. This guy's throwing 104. The Angels have a guy in the minor leagues throwing 103. Gotta move the mound back, right? At some point, if everybody's throwing 102, 103, 105 miles an hour, these games are already low scoring. Don't we have to move it back at some point?
And I think the adjustments they made are the perfect adjustments for right now. For right now, you got the shift is gone. Right, that's going to help get some runs in. Not everybody can. They can't load up one side the way they were loading up. I think there's some the bags are a little bit bigger now. Yep. I know that can kind of work both ways. In a sense, that could work both ways. I don't know. At what point do you feel like that has to happen?
Sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a Dodger game last year. Arizona was in town playing the Dodgers. And
the hitters getting better too? It's not an equal adjustment there?
They are getting better, but at some point there's nothing you can do, right? So we had very good seats right behind the Dodger dugout. They brought in Brusdar Graterol to pitch like the seventh or eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's one of those guys that throws about 101 miles an hour. You can barely track the ball sitting in the stand, seeing it come out of his hand. You can barely see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fun. I mean, it's fun if there's one guy in the league that can do it, but if every team's got a couple of those guys, that's not a great product.
Do you think they'll actually do something?
When there's 20 strikeouts in every game, when both teams are getting four or five hits a night? No, I think you got to do it. Lamar Jackson has said that he has officially requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens. He said that he did it on March 2nd. He went public with it today, tweeted out a series of "I love you, Ravens fans." They tagged him with the franchise tag, the lower version, where okay. other teams could match it if they wanted to and then provide compensation. No biters, no bidders. Lamar Jackson now wants to be traded. Do you want Lamar Jackson to be the quarterback of your football team? He's incredibly exciting, but is he a winning quarterback?
What's the best fit? If you can look at Lamar Baltimore. Jackson, yeah.
Right?
Give me a different team. If you're looking at a team.
The Colts that already that doesn't have a really defined offense that could build around Lamar Jackson, I think could be a good option. The Commanders.
I think that's the question. The question is, can you find a franchise out there that you could say to yourself, look, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'll take my chances with Lamar Jackson. I'll take my chances with this style of quarterback, this type of quarterback. You're right. It's not like you could look at the playoff history of Lamar Jackson and say, man, he's done this, that, and this in the postseason. There's probably a lot of quarterbacks you can't say that about. I'd be willing to take a chance on Lamar, but it's got just the right situation.
Is there not something to be said to the
really
team
good.
That knows him the best?
I know.
Is saying, we're good, see what you can find.
The problem with the Ravens is they're a well-run organization. They have good coaching. They know what they're doing.
And they know what they have, right? They know what they have. And I get that Lamar wants Patrick Mahomes money or whoever's at the top. Mahomes is at the top. But
Deshaun Watson guarantees.
Deshaun Watson kind of guarantees. We're going to guarantee him $200 million or whatever it is. But if I don't think that you're the guy that can take me where I need to be, there's no question Mahomes can do it. Right, there's no question that if Josh Allen, you got a guy like that, like you believe that he can do it. Joe Burrow has proven that he can kind of go do those things. There's no proof that Lamar can do that.
Fascinating, representing himself, right?
That's a whole nother topic. Yeah, that maybe not the best idea in the world, because the other everybody's kind of skipping past this idea that it's one thing that okay, Lamar Jackson is not a contract lawyer. That's you can hire somebody to do that. Agents have leverage. I need you to do this for me, or all these 25 other guys I got in my group are not coming to you. Think about the influence that Clutch has in the NBA.
Sure.
It's not just LeBron James. It's all the other players that they have, and
Boris
they wield
and
power.
Baseball, yeah.
They wield power. They do not necessarily wield a ton of power when you're representing yourself. Give me this. No. But I said to give it to me. A little bit different. Changes pretty, pretty quickly. Let's do a little super crosstalk. So you guys got any advice for Al heading to Houston to take in
first
the
of all,
final four?
Obviously, when UCLA won it in 95 in Seattle, me and a bunch of my friends said, when's the next time we're going to be in this thing? Let's go. And we stayed up for 3 days, and it was completely worth it. Mason and I were working with Jeannie Zelasco.
Yep.
Jeannie and I stayed up all night Monday night, the night they won it. And you remember the next day we had Jim Herrick on?
Jim Herrick,
and
fell asleep. He fell asleep
on
the interview.
He had been up all night.
He'd been up all night, so Herrick.
Yeah, I had just left him. We were on at 5, and I was with him at 4.
Yes, Jim, and a question, and he'd be,
well, boys, it feels good.
No way.
But you know what? Totally worth it.
Well, Tuesday's
very
show
memorable.
Might be interesting.
Yeah.
Because that could be the case.
So you're gone. When are you leaving?
So I'm going to be like that on Saturday. Luckily, I won't have a mic in front of me. But
are you going in Friday or Saturday?
So I'm going to fly. I'm going to take a 11 p.m. flight on Friday.
Okay.
Lakers have Timberwolves on Friday, but it's a 5 p.m. tip-off.
Oh, right.
So I could finish and go straight from here to LAX.
Nice.
So you get in about 4:15 Central Time.
Yep.
4:15 a.m. But who cares?
Right.
And then I think the plan is, I haven't booked it yet, but I think the plan, there's like a 5:30 a.m. flight coming out on Tuesday to LAX, landing at 7:30. The idea is maybe if they win Saturday, we already got the tickets tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
Well, here's the other thing. If they lose Saturday, you can just sell your tickets to the team that won.
Yep.
That happens
exactly.
every year at the Final
exactly.
Four.
Yeah.
And then you just come home on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going to work. You're going to work the Laker game.
Oh, that's right. You got to the Laker game.
How about
night.
This? They play Lakers Rockets on Sunday in Houston.
Well,
oh yeah.
You don't
right.
want to go watch UConn against FAU in the final.
Yeah. Now, sleep. Sunday. Is it when are you leaving? Saturday?
I'm going to leave Friday night, 11 p.m.
Do you need somebody to drop you at the airport?
Emily will do it.
877-710-ESPN. Slee needs Mason a ride to the airport.
Mason is not offering. No, I knew he was about airport no. rides.
Emily's, we all have things that we get pleasure from that maybe other people don't.
You
she
have to
likes
be such
giving
a good
people
person
to
do
airport.
That.
No, she doesn't.
She likes giving people rides to the airport.
It's a very
good
generous
you,
thing
M.
to do because it sucks. But and LAX
I took
is a
Lisa
mess
to the airport
right now.
Yesterday.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it took forever. You know what we did? Here's the thing, Emily. Start doing this. Huge line for the departures. We just drove up to the arrivals, yep. yeah. dropped her off there. She walked downstairs.
Arrivals is
saved
the spot.
Us
yeah.
half an hour.
We did that with my brother last week. Yeah.
So, Mace, you went to Bowling Green.
Bowling Green.
Bowling Green.
Once coached by Jim Larrañaga.
No kidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. He sucked for us. Now he's going to the Final Four twice.
Yeah, Bowling Green has places. All these kind of weird, like, Urban Meyer coached there.
Wow,
Oral Hershiser
right.
went to Bowling
Rob
Green.
Blake.
Rob Blake, the team of the Kings, went to Bowling Green.
Won the national championship at Bowling
yeah.
Green. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like.
That's impressive.
Great
for,
hockey
for
program.
For a like weird Northern Ohio school, it's got a lot of like significance
plus
to it.
Plus me.
Well, clearly.
Yeah, plus
clearly
me.
We probably should have started with that.
Yeah.
that
yeah.
should have been our opening offer.
But here's the thing about you, Slee, is, and I'm very proud of you that you're going. This may never happen.
That's
again.
Why I was asking I Mace. Yeah. Like, John, it's a Bruin. UCLA is going to go to the final. They went last year, right? They're going to go
yeah,
right,
they'll get there.
Fairly regularly
so the
as
year,
a blue blood.
The year I got married, okay, so 1999 was in the middle of Bob Toledo's 20-game winning streak. Mm. Back-to-back 10-2 seasons. They went, lost their first two, won 10 in a row. Won 10 in a row to start
wow. and
the 99
the
season.
Hurricane.
And then Miami. Now, so we were getting married. We did get married on January 2nd.
Okay.
And I had two honeymoon plans. One was because I was working on the radio broadcast team for UCLA that year. And one of them was go.
For football?
Yeah. I was okay. a sideline guy. Chris Robertson and Matt Stevens were up
yeah.
in the booth.
Okay.
And it was super fun.
Yeah.
And because they were winning every game.
Sure.
And Bob Toledo was calling video
fantastic.
Games.
This is the Cade McNown team, right?
Yeah. And but I mean, Freddie Mitchell would run a reverse and throw a pass.
Bob Toledo once named a play after us, the Mason in
yeah.
Ireland.
No way. And it
yeah.
worked.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked. It was he lateraled to Deshaun Foster and he threw a pass.
He was a really right. fun guy to deal
yeah.
with.
And, yeah. And so like EA Sports hired Toledo to create plays for their game. I mean, it was like wow. it was Camelot for UCLA football. So I had to make plans to, A, follow UC. The national championship game that year was in the Fiesta Bowl.
Okay.
Be at the Fiesta Bowl or go to Cancun. And Lisa's like, this is what I'm marrying? Exactly.
Phoenix
so
or Cancun?
Your life is going to be thrown into turbulence over meaningless sporting events. So if you don't want to do this, get out now.
Now, that was the year that the Hurricane game was
delayed,
was postponed
yeah,
and then
yeah,
they
yeah.
went back and played at the end
it was
of the
supposed
year.
To be early okay. in the year.
Lost
Miami
Adrian
wasn't
James.
Good.
So go back to
Adrian James.
Go
Miami,
back and
yeah.
look this up. UCLA averaged that year 45 points a game on offense.
Wow.
And they lost that Miami game 51-45.
Yep.
And Adrian James ran for like 500 yards
yeah,
or something.
Unbelievable.
I remember that.
But so you got to go for it. So I'm glad you're going for
way
it.
Way to go, yeah. Slee. Yeah.
That's what yeah, I said.
And I've got now that I'm going to be there when you're going to be there, I've got some ideas for you, too.
Okay.
So we'll discuss
it. I said to Al last week when they were, you know, once you're in the Sweet 16, it's two more games, you're in the Final Four.
Right.
right?
right.
And I said,
right.
you got to go.
And they can
go.
Beat Florida Atlantic.
Of course
I mean, they may
can.
Not. Florida Atlantic's good.
Sure.
But I would say it's a coin flip as to whether or not they make it to
that's
Monday.
What,
you're
that's
not playing Duke.
No, no.
It's a nine seed.
That's what kind of made this so interesting. Friday night, they're playing Alabama.
Right.
Number one ranked school in the entire tournament.
Yep.
When Friday night happened, and John, it happened while we're at, you know, doing the pregame extra,
right.
all that stuff at the game. Once it happened, it's like, wait a minute. They have Creighton and FAU to get to the national
well,
championship.
Right. And they pull it. I think they pulled it off. Well, yesterday was so weird because the internet went out at crypto.com arena.
Weird.
And so, like, at one point, we had a guy sitting in front of us. It was a San Diego State grad in the stands. And Michael just, at one point, the guy kept leaning over to look at our TV. Michael handed him his iPad.
No, wait a minute. The internet went out for everybody.
And then the internet.
Except for us too. You had it.
No.
No.
No, then the internet went out, and the guy was holding a dead iPad.
Were you on the air?
Yes.
Oh.
We're calling the game. So we told the guy, hey, come up and stand behind us. Mm-hmm. And the end of that game took like half an hour.
Yeah.
They had like 20 reviews. And then
plus,
finally
that was
they
a very tough call at the end of the game.
Although
the call, talking about the foul?
Yeah,
it's a foul. It was a foul.
To me, I never even thought it was. I never thought it was a foul.
It's a foul.
Because of what? The hand on the hip?
He had his arm hooked around his hips.
Well, you can't hit
the hook. He didn't hit his arm.
No.
You can't hit a shooter it's in his the left, air. It's anywhere in his body, it'll throw you off.
Especially if you he had jumped. When he jumped, he basically, and that's kind of the funny thing. You're either one of two things. Either I hear people saying, and I hear a lot more people saying, it's a foul. What do you want them to do? He actually got fouled. And then you hear the other argument where it starts, well, you can't make that call in that situation.
It was a very physical game. They went to the free throw line, whatever, 17 times in the entire game. How do you make that call there?
It's like the Super Bowl, right? These referees are trained to, when they see it, they blow the whistle. Right. They throw the flag. You can't. I know that we'd like them to have total situational awareness at all times. But when I'm a referee and I see a guy with his hand around his hip, or if I see a guy pull a jersey, I'm throwing the flag and blowing the whistle. That's how it goes.
I'd love to hot take this thing, but I can't.
Yeah,
because I agree.
Okay, speaking of officials, what? Somebody tell me why this isn't a bigger deal? Okay, so maybe 3 weeks ago, very close game between Denver and Toronto. And it's a one-point game with 30 seconds left. And Scott Foster calls a foul on Scotty Barnes, the reigning rookie of the year.
Yep.
Scotty Barnes, not only has Scotty Barnes never been thrown out of a game, he's never gotten a technical foul. Mm-hmm. So Barnes complains about the call, and Foster doesn't give him one T.
Double T.
Gives
him out.
Two T's and throws him out in a one-point game with 30 seconds left. And I thought, you can't do that to the best player on the Raptors with 30 seconds left in a one-point game against the best team in the NBA? What are we doing here? So then,
not even a warning. Double T, right, you're out of the game.
So last week at Crypto, Kawhi is dribbling down the lane, and he gets fouled, clearly. The officials miss it. He makes the shot, but he should have had an and one. And Kawhi turns around and just kind of looks at the ref and shakes his head like, what am I going to do to get a call? And the ref goes, technical foul on Kawhi. And then Terrence Mann. The fact that you guys don't know about this is even stunning to me.
I knew about it, but you're right.
Terrence Mann then looks at the ref and goes, you can't call an F and T on him. He doesn't talk. And the ref goes to the ref goes to Terrence Mann, T,
double T,
you're out. In the second quarter. Terrence Mann, a good young player.
Sure.
Who literally said one thing, goes, you can't effing call that on him. He doesn't talk. So,
so then
fast forward to yesterday.
Yeah, that's where he's going.
Yesterday, Nikola Vucevic, who's from USC, who's been in the league for like 15 years, really good center, gets called for a foul. He doesn't agree with the call. He turns to the ref and goes, that's a bad call, man. Technical foul on Vucevic. And Vucevic then turns and says something in Serbian. Right, which I'm pretty sure the ref can't understand.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't nice.
And Tony,
have a nice day.
Tony Brothers,
great weather.
The lead official from the other side of the court runs over to Vucevic and goes, "Double T, you're out." What are these officials doing?
So I have a question.
Except for Luka. Except for Luka, they rescinded.
Luka, they took his T off so he can play tonight.
Yeah, good. I'm glad they did. That's a stupid rule, too.
I want to go back. Help me out here. Who was the guy? Was it Van Vliet that went to and lit that referee up?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Right in the post-game press conference?
Yeah. And he only got fined $25,000.
Got fined $25,000. But I was reading something that referee, whose name escapes me at the moment, basically was demoted after that. He was the lead referee. Basically, every assignment he had up until that point, he was the number one guy, right? Since then, he's been the number one guy one time in 15 games.
I've said this a million times. If I was officiating, you would have to put your hands on me to get a technical foul. And if you wouldn't shut
two
up...
2 million times, by the way.
Yeah. If you wouldn't shut up, I would look at you and say, Mace, we're playing on.
Right.
If you keep talking, I'm going to give you a technical, and I don't want to, but if you don't shut up, I'm going to give you one. And then, if he keeps yapping, I'll give him one. There's not even close to a warning with these guys. Not Slee, not only on the first tee, but what's with the second tee?
Why doesn't the league get involved and say, guys, this is asinine.
Yeah, if I'm the players' union, it is priority one. I love the NBA. It's my favorite sport. We're the only team in the league, and I can't even get Mason to do this. I got this idea from Phil Jackson.
Yeah, I hate
this idea. We're the only team that fouls people out, that takes people off the field. All right,
but not for ejections. You're talking about like too many fouls.
Too many
in the
fouls.
Game.
But
right.
Guys get ejected.
My
point. The point I'm trying to make is, it's an entertainment product.
Sure.
Why are we removing players
from
the
game? Why doesn't the league do something about it?
That's my question.
He says no fouling out.
I would do this. Phil Jackson's,
I'm all right with that.
I'm not.
Phil Jackson's idea is when you get your sixth foul, you can stay in the game, but every foul you get after that is two shots and the ball.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly punitive.
Sounds much more.
But that way, if Joel Embiid fouls out, I just paid $500 for a ticket. I get to see Joel Embiid. Anthony Davis had five fouls yesterday. He sat for the whole third quarter. If there was a no foul out rule, they would just leave him in.
Why don't you like that, Mace?
You know, I think there's a strategy that goes along with he's got three fouls, he's got to come out. He's got four fouls, he's got to come out.
But
five fouls,
think about
he's
what you just
really
said.
Careful.
He's got to come out, he's got to come out. Why are we setting up a system where you want a guy out?
Because there's some strategy involved.
But
I think the strategy is interesting.
Would there not still be the strategy if all of a sudden I know
it's
if Embiid gets another
tees,
one, I'm getting two shots
two
and
shots
the ball. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's part of the strategy,
that's
too.
That's very punitive. That's very punitive.
But this thing, that those three examples I gave you with these refs that are throwing players out of games who and these players aren't like taking swings at people. They're not going into the stands. They're not kicking a ball into the upper deck.
Don't you think it's coming from the league, though?
Yes.
It's coming from the league to stop whining.
I have a theory.
Right.
And I want
it's the anti-whining approach.
I want to go to something that happened today in spring training, I think. Maybe you guys have saw it on Twitter. Somebody sent it to me in the middle
of
the show.
Not yet.
Okay. So the Phillies are playing. JT Realmuto is catching.
Okay.
All right. And this is something that you guys have seen a million times. The ball is fouled out or it hits the ground or something and the ball gets tossed into the dugout, right?
So right.
Catcher needs a new ball.
Sure.
The catcher, Realmuto's in his crouch and he kind of puts his glove over his shoulder like, put the ball in my glove, which we've seen a thousand times, right? He's not looking at the umpire. He can't even see him. His back, the umpire's directly behind him. As the umpire's getting ready to set the ball in his glove, Realmuto takes his glove away. He had no idea that was so bad.
Yeah.
The umpire, it's just perfect timing.
And the ball hit the ground?
Ball hits the ground. He thumbs Realmuto, kicks him out.
No, what?
Kicks him out of the game. Like takes his mask
That's
off,
idiotic.
Points at him, and
That's
does the heave-ho, right?
Yeah. So especially in a spring training game
so
of
I think,
all places.
Right. I think the point of
well, we're all
of
there
this,
to get it, get work.
I think the point of what you're describing in the NBA, John, what this is an example of in Major League Baseball, these guys have these egos. Mm-hmm. They have this thing where you're not going to embarrass me. You're not going to show me up. These are baseball things. In basketball, you're not going to have the chirping or whatever. It's ego. It's not just that it's dictated from the league. Because you're right. Why would you? Realmuto is one of the best players on the. Why are we kicking guys out because my feelings got hurt?
Trav, I'm going to say one thing on Mace. You mentioned. If there's one thing that I'll defend some of these referees, the NBA, there's so much whining.
Oh,
there's so much complaining.
Nobody ever
every
committed a foul.
What if, but I'm not saying, okay, hey,
Jack
that
guys.
Deserves a technical foul.
And
that
what
deserves,
would be wrong with me saying to you if you're whining a lot?
I wish there was more conversation.
Alan,
mm-hmm.
enough.
Mm-hmm.
You've complained on the last five calls, all right?
Chances are he has.
If you, if you continue, I'm giving you a T. Rather than giving you one T, and then if you say anything else, giving you another one. It just doesn't make any sense.
The players complain so much, but at the same time, there isn't this. You guys always mention this during the broadcast, that back in the day, there used to be more of a referee saying, are you really going to keep complaining about that? Whatever it is,
right?
You really
shut
think
up,
that was
you
a foul?
Big baby.
Draw a red line. Draw a red line, say, look, line in the sand, shut up, I'm done with you.
But there could at least be a little bit more back and forth. I hate how the NBA players flop, and I hate how the NBA players complain. But that still should not justify, hey, you're throwing a player out, you're taking him out.
When I was doing the Lakers for those couple of seasons, I would sit right behind the baseline.
Right.
A couple of, and there was Blake Griffin was playing for the Clippers at this point, and I forget who's getting into it, but they were kind of trading elbows and things like that. And Griffin, at one point, turned to the referee and goes, are you going to do something about this, or do I have to do it myself? In other words, you need to blow the whistle or I'm going to smack this guy, was the implied threat.
Right.
And the referee takes the whistle out of his mouth and goes, shut up, Blake. And they ran back down to the other end. And they both kind of went, all right.
And
that's just what it was.
Michael says that happened all the time when he played. That if you said something to the ref would say, I didn't see it. Shut up. Keep playing. There is no – and here's the other thing. Again, we get back to this is an entertainment product. Stopping the game for no reason to me is really stupid.
For extended periods of time.
Oh, yeah. It's really stupid. It's why I want to get rid of replay until the last 2 minutes of a game, because you can't trust these guys not to take 10 minutes.
But the last 2 minutes of the game are the longest part of the game.
45 minutes.
Right. But at least then the first 46 minutes, we don't have to put up with it.
Yeah, right. True.
If you, here's the, one last thing before we go. The replay thing that needs to be fixed more than anything. If you can't figure it out in 30 seconds with car on the floor,
we
stand.
Can see yeah. it on TV. Yeah. Otherwise,
but
call on the floor.
But sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're like, I don't know.
Call
you
stand.
Have,
but
if you 30
have a
seconds,
ticking clock.
I don't know. Whatever Done. Was called on the mm-hmm. floor, we're going with that.
Yeah.
That's to fix egregious mistakes, yeah. not to frame by frame by frame. Super Crosstalk. It's powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason and Ireland coming up next. Go Aztec, Slee. We'll see you tomorrow.
Slee.
The hotel.